Rosh Chodesh. From Yirtz Hashem, on Thursday, Mabolim L'Toiva, it's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah L'Ilonais L'Divrei Beis Shammai. Okay, Rosh Hashanah in general is a day that we recite Hallel. We recite Hallel in every Rosh Chodesh except for Tishrei. Why not on Tishrei? Because it is the Yom Hadin. Sifrei Chaim, V'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim. If the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim Psuchim, we cannot have to get a Sifrei. We cannot... Okay, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim Psuchim. We do not say Hallel. It's a Yom Hadin. But otherwise, we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh Be'etzem is the Yom Tov. It was. There were different Mamar Chazal. I didn't really focus on preparing the Haggadah. Rosh Chodesh was originally meant to be a Yom Tov. We were supposed to celebrate every single Rosh Chodesh as a Yom Tov, which would mean an Isra Malacha. Prohibition to do Malacha, just like we have the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Could you imagine there'd be 12 more holidays a year? Full Yom Tovim, but because of the Cheto Egel, the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh was taken away from us. And therefore, we do not celebrate Rosh Chodesh with any major significance. There's absolutely no Isra Malacha, at least for a man. But as a Zecher Ledover, that it once was a Yom Tov, and it was taken away, and we assume that La'asilava will be restored, we recite Hallel. Now, because it's not a real Yom Tov, it's only a Zecher Ledover, we have to do something to the Hallel to show that it's not complete, that it's not a real Yom Tov. And that's what we call Chatzi Hallel. Truth is, it's not Chatzi. We recite probably 80% of the Hallel, and we call it Chatzi. I'm not exactly sure why we call it Chatzi, but we only leave out two paragraphs, two sections, which are not even complete paragraphs. We leave out half of two Mizmoirim. There are two Mizmoirim that we only recite half. So that's why we call it Chatzi. It's not called Chatzi Hallel because we only recite 50% of the Hallel. It's called Chatzi Hallel because two of the Mizmoirim that we recite, we only recite 50%. Let me turn to the page to be more precise. We come to the Mizmar Kuf Yud Dal. The Hallel basically starts with Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet. We go all the way to the end of the Sefer. We go pretty much all the way to these are the last Pirakim in Sefer Tehillim. We come to Mizmar Kuf Yud Dalet. We recite the entire Kuf Yud Gimel. The first Mizmar we don't skip. Kuf Yudal, we only recite half. And Kuf Tes Vav. And Kuf Tes Vav. We don't say the whole Kuf Tes Vav. I'm getting a little confused here. But No, I'm sorry, right. All right, let's leave that. I'm getting a little confused. We leave out parts of Hallel. We don't say. Maybe we'll come back to some more details another time. But we leave out parts of Hallel. Let's discuss the most important part of the Hallel, and that is the bracha. Do we recite a bracha when we make Hallel? We say Hallel. There is no makar. There is no halacha anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that tells us that we are required to recite Hallel. Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom Tov. Clearly not a Yom Tov. There is no such thing. The Torah gave us Moadim, Shalosh Pa'amim Ba'Shana, Yerekol Zechurcha. In the list of the Moadim, the Torah enumerates, there is Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, there's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and that's it. There's nothing else. There's Shabbos, and that's it. Doesn't say anywhere, any remes, anywhere whatsoever in the Torah that Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov. It's not a Yom Tov. It's a medrash. It's a medrash that says that one that it was meant to be a Yom Tov at the time of Matan Torah, but because we were nichshol in the chait of the Egel, Hashem decided, you know what? He's not when he returned when Hashem allowed us to do teshuva and he returned his divine presence, it was not 100%. There was something lacking. And the collateral damage of the chet or egel is with us ad hayom hazeh, not just in pokot pokadati, not just in the principle that every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, there's always going to be a small amount of punishment for the chet of the egel. There is a real, tangible consequence of the chet or egel in this, that we do not celebrate Rosh Chodesh. It is not a Yom Tov. But as an acknowledgement on our part that it's not a Yom Tov, we do recite Hallel as a minhag. Being that it's a minhag, and we should not get confused between what is real and what is not real, we do something unique, something that is different, to leave out part of the Hallel. Now, what about, but do we make a bracha? So you would say definitely not. Why should we make a bracha? It's only a custom to say Hallel as a zecher ledavar. And to prove the point, let's analyze some things that we are required to do according to halacha. For example, Hoshanis, to walk around the bima every day of Sukkot with the lulav and the esrog, to take the arava and to bang the arava on the ground on the Shana Rabba, this is much, much more chamor than reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. This was a takana given to us from the Nevi'im, came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not in the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that we should walk around the Bima on all the days of Yom Tov, of Sukkot, with an Arava. We take not only the Arava, we take the Lulav and the Esrog as well, and the Hadassim. But the Ikar is to walk around the Bima, to walk around with the Arava, and to beat the Arava on the ground. This is a Hanhaga that we are commanded to do through the Nevi'im. Do we make a bracha? No, there is no bracha. Saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a lot less severe than the minhag of buying an arav and hitting it on the ground. So why
That's a trivia question, but the very first minhag was established by Ezra.
What was established by Ezra? What? The arav?
The Hoshanis.
So this is the
first minhag ever.
But it's not a minhag. It's a takana.
I mean, it's the first thing that Ezra established the first minhag ever that we do.
Yeah, but the minhag is not the right word. It's a takana.
It's a much more severe word
than a minhag. So how could it be then that for the takana of the arava we do not make a bracha, and yet for Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, just to remind us of our chet of worshipping the Egel, we do make a bracha, at least according to the minhag of Ashkenaz. So you'll say, well, maybe Arava, hitting the Arava is a violent act. An action that is violent, that you don't want to make a bracha. Well, it's also not such a great thing to say Hallel, because you know, this Hallel that we say in Rosh Chodesh is bittersweet. On the one hand, we're saying Hallel, we're singing, we're rejoicing, we're celebrating in the Yom Tov. On the other hand, it's a very painful reminder that we have committed a horrible crime. We took a golden calf and we said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. And Chazal never like to emphasize chet. It's one of the reasons why we don't, you know, the Sheish Zechiris. How come we don't every single day remember the Egel? Chazal don't want us to remember every single moment. They didn't make a Yom Tov over Averos. Averos, fine, we did the Averos. Do not celebrate Averos. Rosh Chodesh, to a degree, when we omit half of the Hallel and we don't make a bracha, the entire process is a recognition, a very poignant recognition of Avera. And yet we make a bracha? It's probably more of a recognition of our Avera than it is a celebration of what was supposed to be. And yet you make a bracha. And not only do you make a bracha in the beginning and you make a bracha at the end. That's quite a shock. And obviously, I don't have a good answer, but obviously the minhag Ashkenaz is to make a bracha in the beginning at the end. It goes to show it's unique in all of the minhagim. There's only two minhagim upon which we make a bracha. Hallel and the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. Those, to the best of my knowledge... What?
The Megillah
is a halacha. That's a takonis chazal. That's not a minhag. Letting the Megillah is a din de rabbanon. It's an enactment that the rabbanon made. That this is not a custom. There are only two customs upon which we make a blessing, lefi minhag Ashkenaz. And indeed, it is very challenging to the degree that the Sfardim do not make a bracha. The Sfardim, they never made a bracha. They held that it's us to make a bracha. And they never made a bracha, period. They said halal and Rosh Chodesh chatzi halal without a bracha. Eidus and Mizrach, okay, and all the Teimonim and people that came from outside of the Sfardim, they never made a bracha. Today, I have here in the Sefer that used to appear as a massive section that it appears today that the Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael, many of them do make a bracha when they recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, which is very challenging because it's a change in what appears to be the tradition amongst the Sfardim. And many Sfardim who have immigrated to Eretz Yisrael, who have come from places where they did not make a bracha, and now they have joined communities where everything is exactly the way it was back wherever they came from, there's only one difference. Where we came from, they did not recite. They did not make a bracha. And here in Eretz Yisrael, in this Sfarish community, they're making a bracha. What should we do? Should we make a bracha or not? So in this sefer that I'm using, it's an excellent sefer. I had this for many, many years. Okay, it's an excellent sefer, and he goes through, and he basically says a tremendous chiddush. He says, if the communities where the Sfaradim have settled are brand new, these are settlements where there was never a yeshuv of Sfaradim living here until recent times, they can make a bracha. And if someone joins them, you should make a bracha, because you're now considered to be in a new place. But if you are in a community, a settlement, where the Sfaradim always did not make a bracha, and now they want to change, then you should not make a bracha. So he's basically saying is that even amongst the Sfaradim, it's very prevalent that they make brachas, but they should be careful only to make brachas in like new cities. Today, Eretz Yisrael is expanding by leaps and bounds, and in areas where in this community there never was a community over here. So now it's true that Sfaradim made aliyah, and they settled, and they built a community. But in this makom, you can't say there ever was a minhag regarding making a bracha on halal or not. So it's halacha lemaisa. If they do want to make a bracha, thank you very, very much for the coffee. Thank you. If they do want to make a bracha, it's okay. It's not a bracha lebatala, and there's nothing technically wrong with a change in minhag, because you can't say regarding a bracha with a halal that it's a change in your minhag. It depends on the makom. It's a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing, is that the bracha on halal is a din in the makom, and if in this makom there never was a makom, it's a new place that's being established in Eretz Yisrael, a new city, and if the people who established want to make a bracha for whatever the reasons are, it's perfectly permitted. That is very prevalent among the Ashkenazim. They always made a bracha, even Chutz Liaretz. So if Sfaradim want to make a bracha here in Eretz Yisrael, as long as it's not in a community and a yeshuv where the Sfaradim in this yeshuv do not make a bracha, it is permitted. I guess that means in Yerushalayim, where there always was a settlement of Sfaradim, if now a new shul opens up in Yerushalayim, in the heart of Yerushalayim, and they want to make a bracha, that would be a violation of their tradition, because the Sfaradim were always here in Yerushalayim from time immemorial. And I guess it's getting very difficult to differentiate between what is called an old yeshuv and called a new yeshuv. I imagine Beitar or I don't know, I'm not familiar with all the new cities, a lot of new settlements, a lot of new different in Beis Shemesh. the lot of new places. There were no, these are brand new. No one lived. You go tell me time of Tanakh. Okay, go back 1,000 years. That's not a raya. Let's talk to the last since time of the Chumash Hamikdash. There was no living in these places. These are totally brand new places. So here, you see Paskins is that it's not a problem. They can make a bracha. All right, let's go now. Let's go discuss the bracha a little more. What bracha do we?
They also don't make bracha on Tfilin Shel Rosh.
Right, that's right.
They don't.
Right, the Mechaber says you do not make a bracha. The Mechaber says only one bracha. Only one bracha, you do not make a bracha on Tfilin Shel Rosh. That's that. So there, see, there's a little bit of a difference because that is a private matter. When you put on your tefillin, it's private. In fact, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to put on your tefillin at home and then come to shul. Saying Hallel is something that you do b'tzibur, so it becomes part of the service. So that becomes much more of an issue. Dr. Friedman, you wanted to say something?
This is the New Arts World Siddur for Sfardim.
Okay.
And that the bracha on a whole Hallel is Ligmaris HaHallel.
Okay.
And in some communities, when it's a half Hallel, only the Chazan makes the bracha for the people, and he says Likroes HaHallel.
Okay, that's exactly what I want to talk about next. If you do make a bracha like we do make a bracha, what bracha do we make? So we make a bracha, our bracha is not Ligmar, it's Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvot V'mitzvanu Likro Es HaHalel. Now there are three things that we have to discuss. Number one, why is it called reading the Hallel instead of Ligmar Es HaHalel, to complete the Hallel? Number two, why, if we're anyway going to mention the word Kriya, why is it Likro? Why not A'al Mikra? Mikra, what's to call out, to read. When we read the Megillah, it's al Mikra Megillah. We don't say Likro Es HaMegillah. It's al Mikra Megillah. Number three, why is there a Hey HaYidia HaHalel? So each one of these three things is a big topic of discussion. Number one, let's talk about Likro. Ordinarily, there are 18 days a year when we're obligated to recite the entire Hallel from beginning to end. And those days include basically the 8 days of Chanukah, the 8 days of Sukkos, and the first day of Pesach, and the first day of Shavuos. Okay, I think I got all the 18 days. Those are the 18 days a year when we recite the entire... I'm talking about like in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day of Shavuos, there's only one day of the first day Pesach, and on the remaining days of Pesach you do not say the entire Hallel, you only say Chatzi Hallel, and on Sukkos you say on all 8 days of Sukkos you recite the entire Hallel. Then it would be clear as day that the correct bracha should be ligmar, to complete. The word ligmar has a connotation, two things. Number one, every single word must be accounted for, to complete. There's nothing called completion unless every single word is accounted for. And indeed, that is the halacha. That halacha that we discussed a few times. Many people do not know this halacha, and it's a very important halacha. Just like when we go to shul on Purim to hear the Megillah, it is critical that we hear every single word of the Megillah. If we leave out one word of the Megillah, we're not Yaitzeh. The law of Hallel is exactly the same. If you leave out one word of the Hallel, you are not Yaitzeh. And that's why on these days, 8 days of Chanukah, and the 8 days of Sukkos, and on the first day Pesach, and the first day of Shavuos, you have to be extremely careful to say Hallel very slowly, to enunciate clearly every single word. If you leave out one word, you're not Yoytzeh. How do we know this? Chazal says that on Purim, the Gemara asks the question, why don't we say on Purim Hallel? The Gemara answers, Kriyasa Zuhi Hilula. The laning of the Megillah is equivalent to reciting Hallel. And just like we know from this, we learn that just like we know that when it comes to the learning of the Megillah, the halacha is you have to read every single word. And being the Gemara equates Hallel to the Megillah, that means that when you recite the entire Hallel, you must say every single word. And indeed, if you go to a yeshiva, they are very well aware of this halacha, and they make an effort to say the Hallel slowly in order to give everyone the opportunity to recite every single word clearly. And that requires you have to know some grammar. There are certain words that are a little tricky. You have to know how to read them correctly. So that's number one. What? From the Siddur. From the Siddur. Not Baal Peh. That's a very important halacha. Now, number two, the word Ligmor also has a connotation to go in order. If you read the Hallel out of order, Lo Yatzah. And that means even one pasuk. Let's say a person realized that he made a mistake. He left out a pasuk. So, or maybe he left out a paragraph. So one can maybe argue, so what's the big deal if I say it out of order? I read the first paragraph, I got a little spaced out, and then I said the third paragraph. I'll go back now and say the second paragraph. What's the big deal? It's all words of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm reciting complete paragraphs. I'm reciting complete psukim. I'm not doing anything that's outrageous. What's the big deal? The answer is no. If you read the Hallel out of order, Lo Yotza, you do not fulfill your obligation, no different than the Megillah. When you lay in the Megillah, you must lay in the Megillah in order. If you lay in the Megillah out of order, Lo Yotza. When it comes to the Megillah, we appreciate that, because the Megillah is a story. The Megillah is, especially when it comes to Megillah's Esther, it's a sequence of events, a complex sequence of events, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a puzzle. And part of the puzzle is Seder, is the order of how things came about to bring about the miracle. Being that Chazal say, Kiryasa Zuhi Hilula, laning the Megillah is equivalent to reciting Hallel. That teaches us that when you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although we may not understand why it's necessary to recite each pasuk in the proper order, there is a Seder to the Hallel. Just like we can fully appreciate that when it comes to the learning of the Megillas Esther, there is a story. There are events that have consequences. If you take any part of the story of the Megillah and you put it out of order, even the simplest pasuk, then the whole story of the Megillah makes no sense. We can relate to that, and a child could understand that, that every single part of the Megillah must be in precise order in order to come at the end to the climax to achieve the result. It's the same, so the chiddush of comparing Hallel to the Megillah likewise teaches us something that we would never know. That when you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the words of Dovra Melech, the praises, are extremely sophisticated and complex. It's a song. And although we do not understand why the order is essential, it is. And part of the depth of understanding the praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to understand that there's a Seder to praising Hashem. In this world, the more and more you delve into the secrets of this world, the more we uncover everything in this world has an order, has a sequence. And if you go out of order, you cut the line, you're finished. If you cut the line, then everything gets ruined. So we learn two major principles from comparing Hallel to Mikra Megillah. Every single word counts, and it must go in order. Now, what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, both of these, well, one of these rules does not apply. One does and one does not. To be makpid to say every single word, that does not apply. It is only a minhag to recite Hallel. And therefore, if you miss a word, you slur on a word, don't worry about it. It's okay. The world goes on. Because the ikar is to say the Hallel. No, so you missed the word. You said most of it. You're anyway not saying the entire Hallel. Anyway, you're skipping chunks of the Hallel. It's a custom to lay out the Roshei Parakim, the outline of Hallel. Every single word, no. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a yontif. It's a custom. A custom built into the custom is skip. So you skipped half, So let's say I skipped another word. That's okay. In fact, not today, maybe tomorrow. What we skip is not universal. We have the custom to skip certain sections, the second half of two paragraphs. Not everyone does that. There are other customs exactly what to skip to show that it's not a requirement, it's only a custom. Maybe later we'll talk about the different minhagim and the depth of what's the significance and why we skip certain parts of the halal. Number two, however, this is still the halacha. This does not change. Seder does not change. The minhag is to recite certain paragraphs. If you recite them in the wrong order, then you wasted your time. Then you can make another bracha. If since the minhag anyway is to make a bracha on halal, it's like you didn't say halal. There is a seder. There is an order to reciting halal. If you, for some reason, you get confused and you say one chapter in the wrong order, you have to go back and start again and make sure it's said in the place where you made the mistake and start from there to make sure that you say in the correct sequence. That does not change just because it is a minhag. That itself speaks volumes of how critical order is in this world. Everything in this world has a seder, and going out of order is a critical mistake. Now, all of this makes nice and good sense to say with a ligmar, if you tell them these two halachas are true when it comes to saying the complete halal. But what about on Rosh Chodesh, if you're only going to recite half of the halal, how then can you make a brach, baruch atah Hashem kenei melech l'masher kiddushan b'mitzvot of sivanu ligmar es ha-halal when you're not going to recite the entire halal? So there are a number of answers. First of all, some of the Sfardim, they do say ligmar. Whoever told you the word ligmar means to complete? That's not necessarily the correct translation. The word ligmar means to recite. And the proof this to you, he cites over here a Divna Mori Chazal. Let me turn to the page to show the word ligmar is not necessarily, does not necessarily mean to complete. For example, it says, here it is. Vosikin, it says, concerning Kriyashma. This is in the Gemara. In Kriyashma, Masech the Bracha, Staff, and Daf Tes. Vosikin, ha yu goimrin oisa im honetzachama. The Vosikin, goimrin oisa, with netzachama, referring to Kriyashma. And there, it doesn't mean to complete the Kriyashma. It means to say it. Goimrin is just an expression, because the fact there is you don't have to. Okay, vasikin or you goimrin oisa im honetzachama. He writes hakavana how you korin oisa rebe Mordechai shem b'shem yesh mefarshim b'tur sim tov peches oyd hevi beisiv shem mishiboli haleket mishato berach b'rosh chodesh ligmoke. So he cites over there in the Mordechai. The Mordechai was one of the first Rishonim and carries enormous weight in halacha. And he writes there, there's no halacha that you have to complete Kriyashma before exactly with the sun rising. Just the opposite. We have the minhagim to say Shemona Esrei. We start the Shemona Esrei with Hametzachama. But it certainly does not mean. The Mordechai explains there in Nakama, when it says there the halacha of Kriyashma being said im honetzachama, it does not mean the Kriyashma must be completed before honetzachama. That's not what it means. It means simply it should be said. So what does it mean, goimrin? Okay, you have to find another translation, but we learn from the Mordechai, and the Torah also cites the Mordechai, the word goimrin does not necessarily mean to complete. It means to say, to recite. Thus, when we make the Baruch Asher Kedushan, those who make the Baruch Asher Kedushan b'mitzvos v'mitzvon l'gemara sahalel, that does not mean that you now are required to recite the complete halel, and if you leave out half of two paragraphs, you're in violation of making a bracha. That is not true, because that's not the correct translation of the word ligmar.
If it meant to say, it would say oimrim, but it says goimrin.
So the word goimrin has another condition. The word goimrin, the word goimrin, it has a different meaning. I didn't prepare to delve into the deep meaning, but I'm just quoting here from this sefer that he cites the Mordechai in Masechet Brachos on Daf Tes, where the Gemara talks about reciting Kriya Shema with Netzach and with sunrise, and it used the word Goimrin, and the Mordechai there says Lav Dafka. When the Gemara says Goim, do not translate like we are accustomed that it means to complete. The word goyim has another meaning. It's an expression which means to recite. Thus, the commentators explain, just like the Mordechai says this in reference to the pshat in the Gemara, which has an application regarding the zman to recite Kriyat Shema, the same thing is true for the bracha that we recite, the bracha that we recite for Hallel, Baruch Atah Hashem Kinei Melech Masher Kedoshan B'mitzvot V'Tzvon Ligmar, those who make the bracha Ligmar Es HaHallel, it does not mean to complete every last word of Hallel. It means to recite the Hallel. And on Rosh Chodesh, the minhag is to only recite part of the Hallel as a zecher for the chet of the chet ho'egel. It means to recite. So it's not the end of the world if indeed you make the bracha of Ligmar Es HaHallel. Now, what would be a better solution? The better solution would be to make a different bracha. Asher kedushan b'mitzvot tzivanu likro es hahalel. Now, that's very dangerous because you don't go and make up your own blessings. When Chazal institute a bracha, it's sacred. And something about an Orthodox Jew, Orthodox Judaism, is you don't tamper with the template of the blessings. The blessings are sacred. For you to go manipulate the text, you're playing with fire. But if you're going to tell me the word ligmar does in your vocabulary mean to conclude every single last word, and you cannot do that in Rosh Chodesh, you got a problem. So what do we do, Ashkenazim? We don't say ligmar, we say likro es. That's not so simple. Who says you should do that? Who gave you the right to do that? Ashkenazim, very brave. They're very bold. Doesn't bother them. They're willing to do it. Sfaradim are much more sensitive to the sacredness of the blessing, and therefore, if you can't say the blessing the way it was meant to be said, because we cannot say the whole halal on Rosh Chodesh, because that would be misleading to make it look like that it's a festival, which it's not. So we can't say the correct blessing. So guess what? So don't say a blessing. Don't look for trouble. Don't make a blessing. Even though you want to show the chavivos of a mitzvah to make a blessing, well, if you're going to do a minhag, you got to do it according to the rules. You can't make up your own rules. They choose not to make a blessing partially because of this, because they do not want to tamper with the template of Chazal of ligmar es hahalel, and they're not going to say likro. And if you and since the word ligmar means every single last word in their vocabulary, so therefore forget it. Don't make a blessing. Or another reason why they don't want to make a blessing is because it's only a minhag. This is no halacha. You're giving it too much weight. Chazal didn't command us. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav with his commandments. V'tzivanu, when he commanded us. What are you talking about? He never commanded us. Hashem didn't command us. The Rabbanan didn't command us. Don't tell me there's a loisosim klasherim yom l'cho yom and usmol. There's no commandment. This is just custom. People on their own started to do this. You can't make a bracha. That's another reason why they choose not to make a bracha. However, there are many Sfaradim, and it appears many Sfaradim do make a bracha, and the pshara is, they make is basically a compromise. And this also has ramifications for Ashkenazim, where only the Shliach Tzibur makes the blessing. Only the Shliach Tzibur. Which means that if you do not come to shul, if you are stuck home, for whatever reason, and you are reciting Halal, and you are from the minhag, you follow the Nusach of Ashkenaz, you're not going to be making a bracha. And you're not going to hear a soul make a bracha for you, because you only can make a bracha b'tzibur. The leader of the halal, he makes the bracha. And this touches upon another dimension of the Hallel, which has ramifications for Ashkenazim as well. And many want to suggest that this minhag, which is very hard to trace where it came from, how it evolved, was only said for a tzibur, for a group. When you say Hallel, there's a difference between saying Hallel privately and saying Hallel as a group. Whoever said the custom to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh was said for the individual. It's not a festival of Rosh Chodesh. It's a Zecher L'davar. It's a Minhag. We reflect that it was meant to be a festival and we blew it. And maybe in the future, it will be once again be a festival. Therefore, this custom is a custom for a tzibur, not for an individual. L'may nafkamin, even among Ashkenazim, there are some that held. I think there are big G'dol Yisrael that held like this. I can't remember all the names. Some people that we're very familiar with, if they would ever daven on Rosh Chodesh b'yechidus, they did not make it to shul for whatever the reason, they did not make a bracha on Hallel. It's only said when you're saying the Hallel together with a tzibur. You need 10 people to make this blessing when you say a Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So the Sfaradim, they go to the extreme where not only does it only said b'tzibur, even the individuals who are participating in the tzibur do not make the bracha. Only the leader makes the bracha. He makes the bracha. Everyone answers amen, and then they continue to recite Hallel verse by verse. Now, here comes another. Now, let's discuss another issue. The other issue is it says that we Ashkenazim do make the bracha individually, and we're so generous, we make the bracha even when we are daven b'yechidus. What bracha do we make? Likro es ha-halel. Why not say al mikra halel? So the answer given is a very fascinating answer. Anytime you do something, a mitzvah, where there is a delay in the mitzvah is a prolonged mitzvah, and you have to stop somewhere in the middle, then the correct nusach is to use a lamed. However, wherever the minig is, to do a mitzvah in one shot, no delay, then it's al. Thus, when we lay in the Megillah, do we stop in the middle of the Megillah? No, we don't stop. One shot. One, oh, you tell me they clap for Haman? That's not called stopping. That's a distraction. That's not stopping. When we lay in the Megillah, you go one shot, from beginning to end, no delays. So then the correct is al. Al mikra Megillah. Hallel, the ideal way to say Hallel is to say it, is, for example, we come to Hodu, that's going to be the most important part of Hallel. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. The tzibur stops and they respond. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. Yoimru no Yisrael ki li'olam chasto. The tzibur has to respond. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. Whenever there is a participation, there is an interaction between the tzibur and the yachid, which delays the process of the mitzvah being fulfilled, then the nusach of the bracha is with a lamed. Now you have to study other mitzvahs to see how this idea holds up to the idea. Okay, we have to analyze about shofar. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'sivanu l'shmoya koil shofar. Okay, l'shmoya. We don't say al shmias ha-shofar. Why? There's an interaction. What's the interaction? Tekiya shvarim tenua. There's a makri. The Baal Tokea doesn't just do what he wants. You wait until you're told what to do. There's an interaction. And then we do one set. We do it within brochos. Malchios, there's a delay. Then there's it's part of shofaros, zichronos. The way we go about doing the mitzvah is a delayed process. That's why it's appropriate, lamed. L'shmoya kol shofar. What about bris milah? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'sivanu al hamilah. There's no delay. You're not going to go torture this little child. you do the bris milah, 1, 2, 3. Okay, no delays. ASAP, let's get this over with. No delays. Okay, what other mitzvahs do we have?
Lahadlik
ner shel Shabbos. I don't know. You don't say lahadlik ner. L'choiris, because it take. I'm assuming the answer is something which we don't do correctly, which is supposed to be a davar chamor. When you light, I don't know about Shabbos candles. I don't know, but Chanukah candles I know for sure. And you look in, when you study the halacha, the place can make a big deal about this. I did this for the first time this year. I never did this my whole life. First time this year, because I didn't really appreciate how severe it is. When you light the Chanukah candles, you're supposed to light them very, very slowly. Meaning, how did I light my whole life? I put the candle, the shamash, to the tip of the ner. And as soon as I see that it catches, next. No patience, next. As soon as I see the next. Keep on going, don't delay. That's incorrect. It's very clear in halacha. You're supposed to hold the shamash there until the ner is fully lit. Now, there's a lot of chance. When you light the candles, you know, you light it. Oh, it caught. Have a nice day. I'm assuming everything will go according to plan. It doesn't always happen like, you know, sometimes you take away the candle, you thought it caught, and then guess what? You look back, uh-oh, what happened to that guy? That guy didn't make it. And you got to go back. And you got to fix him up, right? Everyone had that experience. Guess what? If you would just have kept your candle there another 10 seconds, he would have made it. You left too early. It's a musa haskel in life with children, with students, with people that depend on you. Don't just assume everything is. Stick around a little bit, right? You send your kid off to camp. You drop him off. Don't just drop him off. Stick around until the kid says, "Mom, you're embarrassing me. Get out of here." Until the parent, the kid, you stick around just to make sure everything is A-okay. I'm assuming if that's halach, let's assume that halach is true for Shabbos as well. Now I understand. I now fully get it. Lahalik ner shel Chanukah. This is a very slow mitzvah. This takes time. Lighting candles is like giving life. When you light up a neshama, you just can't go, you know, hit and miss. This is not like getting the vaccine. You just stick it in the arm. On to the next. It takes time. You got to muchazach. You have to stand there. Lahalik ner shel Chanukah, lahalik ner shel Shabbos. Okay, get another mitzvah. Al hashchita, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. Al hashchita. What, you're gonna delay? You're gonna sit there and go back and forth the whole day? No, that's called shehiya. It's disqualified. The shchita is not a kosher shchita. Do the shchita. Get the animal into the next world ASAP. Al hashchita. Just cut and get it over with. Don't torture the animal. Don't go back and forth a million times. That is called shehiya, delay. That is one of the five halachas of shechita. Okay? All of it. Al kisi hadam. What are you going to delay? What delay are you going to possibly do when you cover the blood? There's nothing to delay. This is a very, very fascinating idea.
But al sefirat ha'omer.
Al sefirat ha'omer. There's nothing to do. You just count the day. What's there to do?
No, but there is timimot. It has to be all 49.
But each day, the fact that we make a bracha, I hear what you say, but the fact that we make a bracha every single day, the mitzvah, I'm assuming the mitzvah is to count the day. It's a complex mitzvah where there are 49 parts to the mitzvah. And there are 7 weeks. But when you do each part of the mitzvah, you don't go count the whole day. Today, we're doing the counting. Done. It's a one-shot deal. When the action that you are performing is a one-shot deal. And what about tefillah? How you can explain tefillin? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lehoniach tefillin. Where is the delay? Where is the delay? What will you say? So you can say many things. You can say the mitzvah of tefillin is to wear the tefillin the whole day. Tefillin is not like Sfiras Ha'omer. Sfiras Ha'omer, you only got one shot. You count the day and you're done. You don't go count the whole day. You run the whole day. Oh, today is 5 days, 5 days, 5 days. It's meshugana. A guy who goes and counts the sphere more than once, is a meshugana. OCD nutcase. You got to take him in.
The second bracha is al mitzvahs.
Excellent. So you're saying something very, very interesting. You see, here of Mordechai Binstock is opening up a whole world. Tefillin, there are two brachas. Ashkenazim make on tefillin two brachas. The first bracha is Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lehoniach tefillin. And then the Shalrosh make bracha Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos al mitzvahs tefillin. So how do you understand that? So number one, what exactly is the mitzvah of tefillin? When we make the bracha, these are all dilemmas, which I don't think you're going to get a good answer, because the truth is this topic is such a big topic, and it's a topic that's a bottomless pit, and no one comes out of this topic with clean hands to differentiate between the li and the al. This idea, I never heard this. I thought my extreme gaiva, I knew everything. But I never heard this idea until I prepared for Rosh Chodesh. I was blown away by this idea. That this concept of al and li is when there's a delay, and it makes a lot of sense. It really opens up a whole new world. And Rav Mordechai just asked this question: what about tefillin? So I don't know.
Oh, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Lehaniach, because there is a hefsek between yad and rosh. You say another saying, and you say another bracha. But the second bracha
is instant. Okay. So you're saying a technical answer.
There is no hefsek.
Okay. I like what you're saying very, very much. You have calmness saying a technical answer. You have to appreciate that the bracha of Lehoniach really, according to everyone, goes on the Shel Rosh also. Even a Litvak, even a Nusach Ashkenaz that makes two separate brachas will tell you that the bracha Lehoniach is on the Shel Yad and on the Shel Rosh. It's just that on the Shel Rosh, you make a second bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin. But the bracha lehoniach goes on both. It's not, it's not like, I'm Ashkenaz. This is only for the Shel Yad and not for the Shel Rosh. No, that's wrong. The bracha lehoniach is for both. There's a delay. You first put on the Shel Yad. It takes time until you get to the Shel Rosh. You're not allowed to even unwrap the Shel Rosh. The Shel Rosh is still in the bag. You got to put your hand inside, got to take it out. You have to take off the straps, open the box, take it out, put it in position, and get it on. There's a delay. There's this very significant delay until you get. So therefore,
you say bracha.
Get bracha also. It's also. So the lehoniach, which is going on the entire set, the shel yad and the shel rosh, there's a long process. Now, when you come to make the special second blessing, that's only going to be on the shel rosh, look at you. It's already kamad 99% in place. And now you just say, al mitzvahs tefillin, you push it down, you're done. That's an instant bracha. Okay? So if Kalman is saying, al derech pshat, why it works out very, very well in this instance as well. But I also want to suggest to you, al derech, not al derech, more, it's not drush, but I think there's more of it, there's also a halacha, we wear tefillin the whole day. And we're supposed to, we don't wear tefillin, but there is a principle in tefillin, unlike other mitzvahs. The mitzvah is to wear the tefillin the entire day. But yet, you don't have to, and adarabah, you're not supposed to, if you have to go to the Beis HaKisei, there's a dual element in tefillin. There's an element in tefillin that it should remain with you the whole day. Every moment you're wearing tefillin, you're mekayim the mitzvah. But on the other hand, there are things that are not appropriate for tefillin. Going to the Beis HaKisei, at night we take off the tefillin, when you sleep we take off the tefillin. There are events, activities in life it's not appropriate that the tefillin should be on. It's not a respect for that it should be removed. So it's interesting, there are two blessings. There's a lehoniach, an element of lingering. And there's an element in tefillin, you should know your place. You put on the tefillin, you're done. I put on my tefillin, it's like counting Sviyasa Omer. I counted the Omer, I'm done. Tefillin, person has to realize there's a time and a place where the whole day is not Kodesh. It's not, people, they get very disturbed. The Rosh Shivas that I learned by, they did not like, they mamish despised a boy who would wear tefillin. There were always Meshugayim hanging around. They would go into the Ezras Noshim and they would wear tefillin during first Seder. During the first Seder in the morning, when they're learning, they wear on a wet tefillin. Or you wear tefillin for a mincha. These people are not accepted. They throw them out. They tell them, you're a shugna. You don't wear tefillin during first Seder. Don't go tell me what they do in Eretz Yisrael and Breslov and in this place and that place. That's not what we do here. You don't wear tefillin here. You wear tefillin during davening, and that's the end. Oh, but you'll show me what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and you'll show me all these Gemaras and the Tanaim that I'm going to wear tefillin the whole day. Hey, you're not on that level of holiness to wear tefillin the whole day. Who do you think you are here? Who do you think you are? You're just a Tom, Dick, and Harry. You wear your tefillin for Shacharis like every other yukkel. And that's it. Take it off. You don't even deserve to wear tefillin during Shacharis. To put on your head the shame Hashem. Who do you think you are? It's enough that we let you put on tefillin for Shacharis. You're going to go wear tefillin the whole day? Every person, no matter how holy you are, there is an element of truth to that. You deserve to wear tefillin the whole day. You know, you put on tefillin, that's it. You put on tefillin to connect yourself. And then to realize, okay, now I have to strive and earn my right to do that again. But on the other hand, it's a beautiful thing to go to a minyan where they daven a long shacharis, so you can wear your tefillin for a long time. And after davening is over, there's no rush to take off your tefillin. You can sit down and learn with the tefillin on. Every moment you wear a tefillin is a mitzvah. But there's a balance. There's a balance. And the two brachos, the li and the al, they bring out that balance. Okay. So we have over here, you can go further, you can say one is for other people to see, one is privately, you can do whatever you can elaborate. But it really is a very beautiful idea. It really appealed to me a lot, it really resonated with me a lot, this idea. This that we say Hallel, we say the difference between Mikra Megillah and Hallel. Mikra Megillah, it's Al Mikra Megillah. It's a one-shot deal. It may take between 20 to 45 minutes to say the Megillah, but you don't stop in the middle. You just say the whole Megillah in one shot. It comes to Hallel, aha! When you get to Hallelu es Hashem kol goyim shabchu kol ho amim ki gavar aleinu chasa v'emes Hashem li'olam halleluka, we're going to say it together. It's a red light. Be patient. Wait for the light to turn green. You have to do it together. The Shliach Tzibur will discuss the process. And therefore, the appropriate blessing is likro es ha-halel. Now, here comes the good question. And this goes to show that we live in a world of contradictions. Ebaze. Let's say you're an Ashkenazi who always makes the bracha on Hallel Rosh Chodesh, no matter what. Whether you're davening in shul, whether you're davening b'yachidus. So now let's say you make the at home, you're all alone. Do you stop for Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Li'olam Chasdo? No, there's no one to stop for. If you are davening b'yachidus, we'll discuss it a little bit soon, how to say the Hallel when you're davening b'yachidus. But if you daven biyichidus, you basically don't stop. You just say the whole halal in one shot. And when you come to Hoidu Lashem Gidev Ki Li'olam Chasdo, you just keep on reading. Yoimunav Esaron Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Yoimunav Yomuna Yisrael Kili Olam Chasto, Yomuna Besaharon Kili Olam Chasto, Yomuna Yirei Hashem Kili Olam Chasto. There's no stopping you. If that's the case, how should you, what bracha should you really make if you're davening b'yichidus? Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvah V'tzivanu Al Mikra Halel. Not Likro Es HaHalel. If the only reason we're saying Likro with a Lamed is because when we say Halal B'tzibor, we pause and we say it, you have to stop and you have to wait for the leader to tell you to say Yoimruna Yisrael Kili Olam Chasto, and you will respond Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. That's only true when you have a leader. But if you don't have a leader and you're all alone, there's no one to wait for. So then you're saying it in one shot. Then it's no different than Mikra Megillah. So then it should result that you should say Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Al Mikra Halel, not Likro Es HaHalel. So what will you answer me? No, we don't want to tamper with the blessing, the nusach. You don't want to tamper. Oh, really? You don't want to tamper with the nusach? Really, really? Hypocrites. And what about Ligmar Es HaHalel? That you're willing to tamper with. Really, the bracha is Ligmar. That's what it says in the Gemara. Ligmar Es HaHalel. Oh, yeah. You know, we can play with it. Likro Es HaHalel. You don't want. So you're very liberal. You're very liberal. You're willing to tamper with the nusach. So once you tamper with the nusach, so you might as well tamper with the nusach nachal and say al mikra halal. I have not yet ever seen a siddur that says if you say b'yichidus, you should say al mikra halal. What's the pshat? How do you understand this? We live in a world of contradictions. Maybe that's part of the reason why the svardim didn't want to change the nusach. Because you're going to change the nusach. What are you going to change it to? You're going to change it to likro or al mikra. And what's the? When do you say one? When do you say the other? You're getting yourself into a lot of trouble. You're putting yourself in a very difficult situation. So don't tamper with the bracha. And since you can't say ligmar, it's only chatzi halal. So you know what? So don't say it altogether. So don't make a bracha. Don't look for trouble. Okay, these are different ideas.
The Sfaradim say it on the other days of Pesach. They say bracha, Chol HaMoed, and the last days.
I think they always say Ligmar. The Sfaradim, if I'm not mistaken, has that. Dr. Friedman has a siddur. Dr. Friedman, what does it say in the siddur? The Sfaradim siddur. What's the nusach of the bracha? Ligmar is a halal.
Chol HaMoed.
The regular halal that they say on the holidays.
But they always, the nusach they always say is ligmar. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Is the bracha ligmar?
No, he says likro. The chazan says likro for the congregation. The congregation does not make the bracha.
So they do change the svardim. They do change the nusach. They do change the nusach. Okay, the ones who those are the congregations that do change the nusach. There are many congregations that don't even do that. There are svarim that do not make a bracha, period. Period. Because probably, like we discussed, and there are different reasons. Like one of the reasons, because they don't want to, it's not honest. It's not called, it's not ligmar. Ligmar simply means to conclude every single word. So they also change it, but they only change it for the shlech tzibur. The tzibur themselves does not make the change. Again, there are many, from what I've read over here, there are many different minhagim by the Sfaradim, what to do on Rosh Chodesh, what's the Nusach, is it always Ligmar, not the Yochid, not even the Tzibur, and in Eretz Yisrael, there are many, many different things. Ashkenazim, it's pretty simple. Ashkenazim, the Nusach is a Likro Es HaHalel, and they say, everyone says it, the Shlich Tzibur says it, the Yochid says it, and it's pretty straightforward. Now, another very big issue that's a big topic of discussion when it comes to making the Bracha on Halel is the Seder. Now, I mean, do you wait for the Shliach Tzibur? You come to Shul, they finish Shmona Esrei, and now it's time to say Hallel. So what are we used to? Everyone here, all pretty much the same. We're all used to sing, everyone waits, and the Shliach Tzibur says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Likroi Es HaHallel. everyone in the shul answers Amen. And after they answer Amen, then everyone begins by saying the bracha. That's what we do, right? That's what everyone, the shliach tzibur makes the bracha. Everyone in shul answers Amen. And then each individual independently makes his own blessing. And he begins, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and we go into the Hallel. That's what I think almost everyone here is used to seeing. Not everyone does this. Not every community has had this minhag. We live in America. America is the global village. All of the minhagim have become morphed into one minhag. That is the Churban of Galus. But before World War II, when Jews were all over the place, all over in different shtetlach in Poland, and all over Europe, and Russia, and all of the countries, Hungary, all different countries with large, large Jewish communities, and many of them were splintered into smaller Jewish communities, there were so many different minhagim. There were so many customs. And many communities had the custom where everyone together begins to make the bracha. There's no waiting. There's no waiting. As soon as the Shliach Tzibur says Baruch, everyone says Baruch. Everyone off to the races. Everyone out. It's like, you know, they blow the whistle and everyone goes. One shot. No one's waiting for nobody. Why? Why would that be more ideal? What is the advantage to that? Very simple. Many hold that once you say Amen, you have already fulfilled your obligation of making the bracha. Shomea Koine. You don't see anyone in shul. I've never seen anyone in shul in Rosh Chodesh, or for that matter, on any time we say halal, saying before the shliach, as the shliach tzibur is getting ready, winding up, to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. I never saw anyone say, "Okay, I now am having kavana not to be yoytzei with the bracha of the shliach tzibur, because if I'm going to answer Amen." Maybe I'm yoytzei with his bracha. If I'm yoytzei with his bracha, when I'm going to make my bracha, it's a bracha levatola. I never saw anyone get up and get all worked up. I never saw anyone make an announcement. Rabbi Yisai, the shliach tzibur is going to make a bracha. Everyone should have kavana not to be yoytzei with the bracha of the shliach tzibur. Because if you're yoytzei with the bracha of the shliach tzibur and then you make your own bracha, do you realize you're in violation of the second command, of the third commandment of the Ten Commandments? L'sis Hashem, Hashem Elokech Halashav. You ever see anyone make this announcement in shul?
I think Kalman didn't.
What?
Rabbi Lundman used to say.
He used to make an announcement? Not to be yoytzei with the bracha of the shliach tzibur?
To say it together.
Oh, to say it together. Right, so you're saying it's true. You see, there was such a minhag. In the Talmud Torah, there was such a minhag. He probably came from a community. He probably came from a community where that was their custom, and he brought it with him to America. I doubt today in the Talmud Torah they still do that. They probably, like everyone else, we've all melted. We've all succumbed to the global village where we do everything as one size fits all. But it's clear as day that it was not the minhag, and they're really right. And over here in this wonderful sefer, he cites over here a lot of very interesting sources that say that even if you don't think anything, you just spaced out, and you just, especially, it's only a minhag anyway to say, and it's only a minhag, and it's a shocking thing that we all make a bracha. So certainly, if you're in shul and someone makes the bracha and you answer Amen, You yoytzei. This is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. This is not a mitzvah d'rabanan. This is a minhag. Even by a mitzvah d'oraisa, mistama, if you answer Amen, you also yoytzei with the bracha. Mistama you are. They know. I know when it comes to Parsha Zocha, they make these announcements, and all the big Bali Halacha, they're laughing their head off, and they're saying, this is like way, way over the top, outer space, What all these announcements is like totally ridiculous. All right, but listen, it's good. People should get serious once in a while. We'll go to town. We'll make announcements. It's good to have put on a good show. Sometimes a good show, you know, it's good for business. All right, but technically speaking, you come to Shul Parsha Zohar and they lane it. If you know it's Parsha Zohar, you don't know it's Parsha Zohar. You yoytzei. What's the whole big deal about? I always remember that I tell you this many times that across the street from me used to live one of the biggest chassid of the Tenkerov. And he used to go every year to the Seder, every year for years. He ate the Pesach Seder by the Tenkerov. He was a holy, holy person. Some say he had a Gili Eliyahu. He was a holy person. And he had all these very interesting minhagim. And one year he came there with his kids and they had, you know, the measurements to measure the size of the matzah, kezayis. And he thought it was so bizarre. He couldn't understand. What? You're measuring the matzah, a sheer kezayis with a tape measure and with a chart, and you put the matzah and you look if it matches up. This is the person that they say about him. He had Gilui Eliyahu. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but they don't say that about, you know, us, okay? They don't say that about us, that Eliyahu Navi came to him. He was a very holy, holy person. And he used to come every Seder. And he thought he never saw something so crazy his whole life. He says, you make the bracha, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah Sivitzivanu Al Achilas Matzah. You make the bracha, Motzi Lechem, and you take a piece of matzah and you eat it. And that's it. You don't have to look how much you eat. You just eat a piece, whatever it is. You take a piece of matzah. Whatever it is. There's nothing to look. There's nothing to measure. There's nothing to do. You eat the matzah. V'zehu. What's all this about? You guys are totally nuts. You lost your minds. It's the same thing with all these announcements and chidushim. Just be normal. Just behave like a normal person. Don't think so much. So the same thing over here. We make all these announcements. If you go to, now this becomes for us a very big problem. Being normal now becomes for us a big problem. Because if you go to shul on this, Mir Tashem, this Thursday, hopefully you can go to shul. Everyone go to shul. You have a safe place to daven. And you daven, and the Shliach Tzibur makes a brach. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'Tzivanu L'Kroyes HaHalel. And you answer, Amen. You yoytze. Without thinking. You yoytze the bracha. So what are you doing now? You're making a bracha levatala. What are you doing? You're going to make your own bracha? This is ridiculous. So therefore, it used to be the custom of many communities where when it comes time to say the halal, everyone together begins. Baruch atah Hashem. Why can't just the Shliach Tzibur make the bracha for everyone? You know what it's like? It's like Kiddush. By Hasidim. It's interesting. We become more Hasidish for halal. By Hasidim, that's how they do. Hasidim, by us Ashkenazim, the Rosh Habayis makes Kiddush, and everyone answers Amen, and that's it. Only one person makes Kiddush. That's what the Sfaradim do. We become like the Sfaradim. The Hasidim, they don't do that. Every single person makes their own Kiddush. Okay, right. That's what the Hasidim do. That's what who's the one? I have a Yemenite friend, so sometimes I go to him, he's not a Yemenite, his wife is Yemenite, sometimes I went to his father-in-law. When it comes to benching, it's very bizarre to me. Comes to benching, the Rosh Habayis reads the benching. And no one says a word. And they answer Amen. That's how they do it. I was there a few times. He sits, the Rosh Habayis, he reads the benching. And they're all Talmidei Chachamim, they all know how to read very well. They're very well versed, very knowledgeable people. They know plenty. And they sit around and they're quiet, respectful, and he reads the benching. It's much, you know, it's very dignified. Unfortunately, when we bench, it takes a lot of patience to listen. He reads the benching, and they answer Amen. That's how they bench. Kiddush is the same thing. So we, who listen to the Rosh Habayis, we all become Sfaradim for Kiddush. Hasidim, everyone makes their own Kiddush. When it comes to shul, you walk into shul to say Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov, all the Litvaks become Hasidim. Everyone has to make their own bracha. Your bracha is not good enough for me. Isn't that funny? We pick and choose. We pick and choose the way we want to live. But there's a very big problem because really it should be a bracha levatala. And that is why it used to be everyone just says it together at the very, very beginning or like the Sfaradim do, only the Chazan. The Chazan, he makes the bracha, and everyone answers Amen, because it's a very bizarre thing bichlal to make a bracha. It's only a minhag, and once you're hearing the bracha, you're going to answer Amen. So the only solution really is, that we understand, is that since it's the common minhag for every single person to make their own bracha, it's a given. The default is that you're not, it's as if you have open kavana not to be yoytze with the bracha of the shliach tzibur. That's the only solution. It's the only that we can say. Since this is our custom, that every single person makes their own bracha, and we wait for the shliach tzibur to make the bracha first to answer amen to his bracha, we have to assume that it's a given we don't want to have kavana to be yoytze with his bracha. Now, they want to compare this to the case of sviras ha'omer. It's not a good raya. But that's also a whole big topic of discussion. What is the correct order? But most of us, when we go into shul for Sfiras Omer, what is the Seder HaDvarim? The Shliach Tzibur, he makes the bracha. First he makes the bracha, but the more common thing is, he makes a bracha to Hashem, Lokinim Elochel HaMasher, Kedashon, B'mitzvot Sivanu, Al Sfiras Omer, and then he counts, and then we make our independent bracha. There we don't have a choice. Because there, we need the Shliach Tzibur to tell us what day it is. No one should make a mistake. So there, we want someone to announce the day. And the only way we're going to have someone announce the day is by having the Shliach Tzibur tell us what the day is. But he cannot say what the day is until he actually makes the bracha. So there, we don't have a choice. He has to make the bracha, so we can make the announcement, what is the correct day, so we know what the day is, and then we make the bracha, then we. It's very possible that Hallel evolved because of that. Because for Sfiras HaOmer there is no choice, that's how it resulted. So we followed in that pattern for the bracha of a Hallel, even though it's not really correct.
There is a hefsek. Because the rabbi who says
he says also.
He says also the tefillah.
Okay, but you can argue.
When he says tefillah, you need the bracha.
I know, but you can argue. But you can argue.
Was far away.
I know, but you can argue that it's not a hefsek because it's all for the purpose of the mitzvah. Since he's telling you the day, you could argue that it's not necessarily a hefsek. Since he's announcing the day to tell you what the day is, so the time that passes between us having said the day and his bracha would not really be considered a hefsek. But that's how we do it. We don't have a choice there. Out of that, it evolved this thing. Okay, one last, very important thing before we conclude, is just the correct way to do how people don't even, just very quickly. What's the correct way to say it? When you're in a shul, this is the correct way to say challah. When you get up to challah, after you finish the paragraph, the emes Hashem li'olam halaluka, the Shliach Tzibur says, Hoidula, you don't say anything. You just wait. The Shliach Tzibur says, Hoidula Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto. The audience responds, Hoidula Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto. And then the audience immediately says the words, Yoimar no Yisrael ki li'olam chasto. And you wait. Then the Shliach Tzibur says, Yoimar no Yisrael ki li'olam chasto. And the Tzibur, the audience, responds, Hoidu la'Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto. And then they say the next line, Yoimru no ve'saharoin ki li'olam chasto. The Shliach Tzibur then says the words, Yoimru no ve'saharoin ki li'olam chasto. And then the audience responds, Hoidu l'Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto. And then they say, Yoimru no yirei Hashem ki li'olam chasto. So what is the result? The result is, you said Hoidu l'Hashem four times. You said Hoidu l'Hashem, you have responded Hoidu l'Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto four times. But you've only said it in advance, but you didn't say it in advance at all. In advance, you only said Yoimar no Yisrael kili olam chasto, Yoimar no Veisaron kili olam chasto, Yoimar no Yirei Hashem kili olam chasto. The result is, even though there are four lines here in this section, you will only have said in advance three of the four lines. The first line, Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chaso, you do not say in advance. You only say that in response. And you not only do you say it in response to the first time, you're going to say it in response to all of the four lines. It's a little bit bizarre. That's how it really comes out. It's a review very good. It's very important. This is the way you're supposed to do it, Betzibor. You have the short paragraph before. Halu es Hashem kol goyim shabuchu kol ho'amim ki gavar le nechastav yemes Hashem le'olam haluka. Period. You stand and wait like a red light. You do nothing. You do not advance and say the first line. You don't. You wait for the shliach tzibur to say those words. And then you respond with the refrain, which is, Hoidu Lashem kitav kili olam chasto. And then you quickly say the next line. Be careful not to slur the words, because every single word is critical for the challah. You then say, Yoimar no Yisrael kili olam chasto. Then the shliach tzibur, he says or he sings these words, and you respond, Hoidu Lashem kitav kili olam chasto. And then you advance. Be ahead of the shliach tzibur, Yoimru no ve'saron kili olam chasto. And then you, when he says it, you respond. And the same thing for the last line. So again, the result will be that you will have responded four times with the pasuk Hoidu Lashem kitov kili olam chasto. And you will advance ahead of the shliach tzibur three times. You will advance for line number two, line number three, and line number four. But you do not advance line number one. Line number one, since it's the same words, you just wait. You wait for the shliach tzibur to say it, and then you say those words. Now, let's say you're davening biyachidus, so there's a difference. It's a very unique halacha. If there are three people, or even if in the room there are two other people, when you get up to this, you should say Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto, and they should answer you Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto, and then you say Yoimar No Yisrael Kili. It's like Kiddush Levana almost. That if you're all alone, if you have two people at home, even your wife and your child, you need two people to do this. If you only have one person, you do not do this. If there are two other people,
by the Seder.
If there are two other people present, even women, or a man and a woman, doesn't matter, two human beings, child and your wife, then you say each line and they respond. Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chaso. They do not need to advance to the next line because they're not davening now. All they need to do is just to say the response. But you call out each line of the four lines, one at a time, and they respond. You need two people to do that. Again, even a woman or a child. Let's say you don't have two people, you don't have only one person, or you're all alone. Forget it. Just read the words. There's no response. If you're all alone, just read it. You just say the words, Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto, Yoimar No Yisrael Kili Olam Chasto. You just read the words. Now, what about the Shliach? Let's say you're the one davening for the Amud. You don't repeat Hoidu Lashem. See, there's a difference exactly who's saying what. If you are the Shliach Tzibur, you don't respond to yourself. All you say is, Hoidu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto, and the people respond, Hoidu Lashem. You then say, Yoimar No Yisrael Kili Olam Chasto, and they respond, Hoidu. You do not respond to your own words. So the Shliach Tzibur, in essence, is only going to say exactly what it says here in the Siddur. I'm very disappointed why all of the Siddurim that we have today in this modern world of technology, where paper and ink is not an issue, why they don't have in the Siddur it laid out exactly, not just instructions, because no one reads the instructions, and the instructions are usually so confusing you don't even know what's going on. They should just lay out They should lay out Tzibur Yachid. They should just have two columns. Why did the Ashkel do this? Just two columns for the Tzibur and for the Yachid. And that way it'll make it, because most people don't even know this. Most people are confused about this. And they're too confused to read the instruction. It will just have it laid out with Tzibur, Shliach Tzibur Yachid, Shliach Tzibur, lay it out. It's so simple to lay out on the page. And then have this, see this for the Yachid. Everyone would become an instant Talmud Chacham. Mark, you have to go to the Kever of Meir Zlatowitz and you have to complain to him. And he'll send down someone to fix this up. Okay, so this is, it's to me, I don't understand. At the end, it's very easy. The end, we just monkey see, monkey do. Ona Hashem Hashiana, 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 do you repeat? And you just repeat exactly what the Shliach Tzibur says if you're alone. And there, if you're B'yechidus, you do not say to your wife, Ona Hashem Hashiana. You know why? She'll say, Ona Hashem Hashiana, go get a job. Don't say to your wife and child, Ona Hashem Hashiana. Okay, there you just say it to yourself. There's no response that's made at the end of the halal. Okay, there's a lot more mitzvah. Maybe we'll do more tomorrow. We'll see. In the meantime, have a wonderful day, everyone. Be well. All the best to everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.